sound like maybe they came from God, sound like they might be religious, but actually, no, they're actually not in the Bible, and God never said that. And so our friend Bill the Angel is going to help us in other skits for the various other videos to remind people that no, God never said that. I do need to make a little disclaimer for this sermon series. I'm stealing it from a group called Life Church, although I'm not technically stealing because they produce all of their materials and they say churches use these freely. So I'm not just stealing it from them. We're doing a little bit differently than they are. For one, we're making our own videos, which I think will be better. But we're making it 5 sermons instead of 4. I'm using a couple different phrases than they use, but they still gave me the idea. So I have to give credit where credit's due. So thank you to those guys. But as you saw in the video, today we are talking about the phrase, God wants you to be happy. If this phrase that we're talking about today in a sermon series called God Never Said That, if this is the phrase, what do you think that means we'll be talking about today? If the phrase is God wants you to be happy, but God never said that, what do you think I might be telling you then? Might you think I'm saying that God wants you to be unhappy? Hopefully that's not where you're thinking. It's really easy to get there. I can see how you get that conclusion. But it still feels weird when I'm saying God never said he wants you to be happy. How do you feel about that? Does it make you upset? Does it make you hope that I'm wrong? Have you heard anyone ever say God wants you to be happy? Yeah, okay. I got a definite yes from some of you. It's scary, though, if God never said he wants us to be happy, right? I mean, we love happiness. Happiness is like what we really, really, really want to go after. What's the catchiest song, possibly annoying to many of you, but from 2014, that uses the word happy about 30 bajillion times in it? Yeah, I'm not going to try to sing it because it's in falsetto, and so no. But clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel that happiness is the truth because I'm happy. Yeah, and then it keeps on clapping and happy while you're dancing down the street in the music video. Rewinding a little bit back in time to 1996, Sheryl Crow sang the song, If It Makes You Happy. She's screaming, singing that in the chorus. And then what does she say next? It can't be that bad. We won't go to the next couple of lines. But if it makes you happy, it can't be that bad was the first line of her chorus. And that's still going on. We talk about happiness all the time. And so to hear that maybe happiness is not what God wants for you, that's an odd thought, right? So maybe I should clarify a little bit first. First of all, happiness is not in and of itself a terrible thing, right? So let me get that out of the way first. A lot of people will go to this verse when we want to talk about happiness. This is an older translation of the New Living Translation, but Psalm 97:12, the first part of it is translated, may all who are godly be happy. And so you'll hear people use this verse, may all who are godly be happy. Of course God wants you to be happy, but I think some people take verses like that, and our culture just takes its own ideas, and they push those things a little too far, right? Like, if you start thinking God wants you to be happy, and that is his highest priority for your life, to be happy, then what happens to your theology? Like, it gets pretty out of whack, right? Like, it is not very accurate. Let's pretend, if you will, if you develop a theology of happiness, the route that you might go down. Number one, you might start thinking, well, if God wants me to be happy, and that's his priority for my life, then anything that makes me happy must be right, and anything that makes me unhappy must be wrong. That's what we might starting. That might send you further down the road of, well, then that means that discomfort, delay, and suffering, inconvenience, any obstacles, those things cannot be God's will. Those must be evil things then. And that takes you further down the road without knowing it. You begin to worship false gods of money and comfort and stuff and pleasure because, after all, it makes you happy, so therefore it must be what God wants in your life. But that's not accurate. That's not a good route to go with your personal theology. If God just wants you to be happy, you make him into a genie or worse, a Coke machine. Like, right? It makes God into a soda machine where if you push the button, it gives you the soda you want, and if it doesn't, then the machine's broken. And all too often we think that, or all too often I think people walk away from God or the church or from faith because they've pushed the button and it did not give them the soda they want, so the machine is broken. And I think that happens too often, but that's not God's goal for our life, right? God's goal for our life is not for us to be happy. So then what is the truth about God and happiness? Well, we can talk about first, I think the easiest thing to get out of the way is types of happiness that are just wrong for our life. There's a lot of types of happiness that it's obvious why God doesn't want these things for us, why happiness is not the ultimate goal. Here are some really bad types of happiness. Number one, happiness that God does not want for you is happiness when you hurt someone else or it comes at the expense of others for your happiness. When your happiness comes at the expense of someone else, your happiness is not a good kind of happiness. That is not what God wants in your life. Last week, as I was leaving a restaurant in my car, I saw someone throw their soda can out the window. And it made me a little too unhappy at first. I was like, that jerk. It made him kind of happy. He had a big old smile on his face when he did it. And he didn't have to clean his car up. I mean, it makes him happy, right? But is that good kind of happiness? Is it going to make the employee that has to clean it up later happy? Is it going to make the person driving down the road who thinks people are trashing our town happy? No, it comes at the expense of others. So that's not a good kind of happiness. Taking that more seriously than just throwing trash out your window, all too often we think we couple love and happiness together a lot. You think you should love above all else, and it'll make you, you should pursue love. And you realize some people stop feeling in love with their spouse and start feeling in love with someone else. And, you know, you got to pursue love and happiness above all else, right? And so they want to pursue that happiness with that other person. But that's not good happiness, is it? That's breaking vows they made on their wedding day if they go after that kind of happiness. Happiness is not always for the best. Another type of happiness that God does not want for us is when your happiness will turn into pain. See, all too often, we've got the short-term view, I think, of what we're looking for. Sometimes, all of the time, God has the bigger picture in mind. And the easy verse to go to this, you might have heard it before, Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. Isaiah is God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah and says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See, God's got a bigger picture in mind. And so our happiness is not the ultimate thing. It's an easy parallel to make if you have kids, right? I think not a day goes by where I do not make my children unhappy, but it is for their best, right? Like, I think most parents can grasp this. We say things like, no, you can't have pizza for breakfast. No, that really was the last piece of candy you get. My children know, Ella's asked for pizza for breakfast a lot, but recently it's they want Ring Pops because we got some of those for Easter, and they know they exist inside the house. So they keep asking for Ring Pops for breakfast. Yes, you really do have to brush your teeth right now, get back in bed, you're going to be exhausted in the morning. That's for their good, right? They can't just have a steady stream of chocolate, even though it would make them happy, because I've got bigger things in mind for their lives than just to drink out of a chocolate fountain all day long, right? And so happiness is not necessarily the ultimate goal. There's bigger pictures in mind. Maybe just as we have that opinion of our kids, maybe God has that of us sometimes. Maybe there's that. There are two other times I can think of when God doesn't want us to be happy. They're kind of the same things I just said, but worded a little bit differently, so maybe to whichever way maybe gets in your head a little better. But another time is when God doesn't want you to be happy when the pursuit of your happiness causes you to do something immoral or unwise. Right? Letter of 1 Peter tells us this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. It says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Now he says there in that verse, Peter is writing to other Christians, says, don't pursue the same passions you had when you were ignorant about what God wanted for you. Ignorant just means you don't know something, when you didn't know what God wanted for you. But instead, you're supposed to be holy now. Sometimes our pursuit of what is fun is not very holy, right? I mean, sometimes the things that are fun and our passions from before we became a Christian, before we knew that God actually has standards, those things can be a whole lot of fun. But they are not right for our lives, not good for our soul. Just thinking with the greater idea of what the soul is, that the soul includes our bodies as well. Just think of overeating. Like, it is fun to eat an entire pizza in one sitting. I love it. But it's not what's best for me, right? Probably no pizza at all is good for me, even though it's like a staple in my life. But other things, comedians, think about that. Comedians make you laugh, but there are a whole lot of comedians that are not very holy, right? It's almost hard to find a decent non sickening in many ways, comedians sometimes, but they make us laugh, but sometimes at great expense, right? Or the easy one to talk about is pornography. It makes somebody, the viewer, happy for a few minutes, right? But it's not good lasting. What about entertaining movies? I mean, entertaining movies, we enjoy that hour and a half of escapism, but sometimes we pay for a sin that Jesus died for. Like, we pay to go be entertained by something Jesus died for. Like, that's not worth your happiness, right? To be entertained by something that Jesus died on the cross for? That is not a good way to pursue our happiness. That verse in 1 Peter said, don't act like you used to act before you knew that God had standards for your life and before you knew that Jesus died for those things. Don't act like that. Here's another time God doesn't want us to be happy. When our happiness is based only on things of this world. All too often we are happy because of stuff. And it reminds me of the phrase that money can't buy happiness, but that is a total lie and you know it. Money can so buy happiness. You ever watch somebody be really angry at the world where they're driving a jet ski they just bought? No. Like, it makes you happy. Have you seen anybody you get people scared, but have you seen anybody frowning, like scowling at the world riding a roller coaster? No. It's money, the ticket fee to get in and ride the roller coaster, that bought your happiness for a few minutes, right? Happiness can, I think, be bought, but is it the right kind of happiness? And is it necessarily lasting happiness? It's all too often there's payments with the jet ski. And you realize, I just paid how much to get into the theme park? But if the way you make and keep yourself happy is based on things of this world, it's not the right kind of happiness. It's actually making your happiness into an idolatry if you put the stuff of this world at the way to feed your emotions and to feed your happiness and to feed your smiles. Another New Testament letter, 1 John, tells us this in this topic. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. See, the world teaches us that if we're not happy, we can do immoral things to make ourselves happy. That's wrong. And if the world also teaches us that if better possessions plus peaceful circumstances plus thrilling experiences, plus the right relationships, plus the perfect appearance, all those things equal happiness. So the world tells you, you get just things right. If you get everything fixed and good the way it's supposed to be, you'll be happy. And that's wrong too. Sometimes the world and our own hearts try to convince us that happiness is really what matters. But it's not what matters. Why? And that's because the world is not meant to satisfy us. The world and the things in it are meant to point us towards God. They're meant to direct us to someone who's bigger than this world. And in fact, the world cannot make us happy. It can't satisfy us no matter how much we make it, or we try to make it do so. There's no amount of anything you can do for yourself. There's no amount of something someone else can do for you who lives in this present world here that could make you truly happy forever. Jim Carrey, of all people, he once said, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see it's not the answer. It's that guy, I wouldn't say he's the most upstanding person all the time, but he even realized the truth that happiness can't be found. Lasting happiness is not the answer looking for things in this world. So in case you haven't noticed by now, happiness at the expense of others, happiness for the short term, happiness at the expense of your integrity or at the expense of Jesus' sacrifice for us, happiness based off of the things of this world, it's not real happiness. That's not the kind of happiness God wants for us. So what does God really want then? And I think I've said it enough times, it's not that God wants you to be happy, God wants you to be better off, which is something different than happiness. God wants you to be better off, he wants you to be blessed, he wants you to have genuine and real joy. Joy is more important than happiness, right? Joy can even occur when you're sad. You ever thought about that? Like, have you ever been unable to experience, to be joyful, even when things are just terrible and you're sad? I know it's weird to think about, because we often just couple joy with happiness right up. And so then if you're sad, you can't be joyful, we think, but that's not true. You can still have joy, you can have peace and contentment, even when things aren't going your way. James, the brother of Jesus, he wrote a letter to other Christians in the time period when Christians were being killed for their faith. The people receiving James's letter would have known people who would have suffered and have been worrying about their own suffering for the sake of the gospel. And he writes them a letter, the book of James. The first verse is basically, dear Christians, this is James. The verse 2 says this, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. He just said, count it joy when you're getting hurt, is what he basically said there. When you're getting hurt for the gospel, count it as joy. That is weird to think about, isn't it? Like when happiness is all we talk about and how to get happy and how you should make yourself happier and 14 ways to have a happier life and all these things. When it says, count it joy, my brothers, when you're going through trials, when things aren't going the way you want them to, when stuff hurts, count it as joy. That's a weird thing to think about. How do you get joy like that then? It's something deeper than just surface level happiness, isn't it? Like it's something beyond that. What's the difference? What's the key to that then? And let's go back to that verse I gave at the beginning of the sermon. May all who are godly be happy. There's a second part of the verse. Actually, it should be part of the whole verse. Psalm 97, verse 12, in that translation, doesn't just say, may all who are godly be happy. It says, may all who are godly be happy in the Lord and praise his holy name. So it doesn't just say, be happy. It says, be happy in the Lord and praise his holy name. Delight yourself in him. In my preferred translation, the ESV, it says it this way. It says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. Similar verse in Psalms tells us this, verse chapter 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I've spent this sermon telling you that God doesn't want you to be happy, or at least you can interpret it that way, that I'm telling you God doesn't want you to be happy. The verse I just read says that God will give you the desires of your heart. That sounds like happiness to me, doesn't it, to you? Like, it's not that God doesn't want you to be happy. He wants to give you the desires of your heart, right? That's what the verse said there, but what's the caveat? What's the preemptive part of that there, though? It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Like that verse we heard at the beginning. Don't worry about all these things and the flowers and all that stuff that can pass away. God takes care of them. He'll take care of you. Seek first his kingdom, though, and then all else will be added. Seek first his kingdom. Delight yourself in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Be happy in him. See, it's not that God doesn't want you to be happy, because God does actually want you to be happy, but not the way the phrase is often used. It's that God doesn't want you to pursue happiness. He doesn't want you to do things to become happy. He wants you to pursue God. He doesn't want you to pursue happiness. God wants you to pursue him. And if you pursue him, you will be happy. But he doesn't want you to pursue happiness, because that's the way to not be happy in the long run. That's not real happiness. Pursue God instead. When your delight, when your joy, when your pleasure is found in the Lord, you can be happy regardless of circumstances. Because he doesn't change. And while other things change, if your happiness is found in him, your happiness doesn't have to change. It's like the wise and foolish builder. We've heard this story probably. It's a very good, easy to remember lesson, right? The wise and foolish builder built two separate houses. What did the wise man build his house upon? The rock. What did the foolish builder build his house upon? And the wind and the rain of life came, and what happened to the house on the sand? It fell away. What happened to the house on the rock? It stayed standing, didn't it? We all know the winds and the rains of life come, right? Like, that's a guarantee. You know by the time you're able to talk that life does not always go your way, right? And so things will not always be working to try and make you happy. They won't. But you build your house on the rock instead. If God, an unchanging bedrock, is the foundation of your joy, that's a whole lot better than fleeting happiness built on sand. Max Lucado and Craig Rochelle give this illustration for happiness instead. They say, can you take a fish out of the ocean, put it on the beach? Will the fish be happy? Why? Yeah, the fish is going to die. But wait, hey, wait a minute. What if you give the fish $1 million, give him Oakley sunglasses, give him all he could ever want, you give him the perfect fish husband or wife, depending on what kind of fish it is, you give it the perfect 2.476 kids and any TV it could ever want, is the fish not going to be happy then? It's still going to die, but the fish has everything it ever wanted, right? Except what it really actually needs to be happy, right? The fish can't be happy on the beach. It's going to die. It might flop around for a little bit out of happiness, but I don't know if that's happiness or not. Instead, the fish needs to go in the water, right? If you're looking for happiness and all these things in the wrong ways because you're on the beach instead of the water, you're not going to be happy. Instead, you put the fish where it's meant to be, and then happiness can come. And just like the fish in that illustration, your happiness is pointless if you're going to die, right? If you're just gonna flop around on the beach for a few minutes wishing you were happier, then it's no point to get all those things that might the world tells you might make you happy. But it's not that God doesn't want you to be happy. God wants you to be in the water when you're happy. God wants you to breathe. He wants you to have real joy and lasting happiness. And he wants you to pursue him, not pursue happiness. Pursue happiness, you're going to end up on the beach. You pursue him, you'll actually get the things that make you happy. So pursue him first. Seek first the kingdom of God. And so some questions for thought. You don't answer them now. These are just questions to ponder and maybe answer throughout the day as you're thinking about it, file away in your brain. Number one, what does culture say you need in order to be happy? Number two, have you ever done something wrong or unwise in the pursuit of happiness? The answer is yes, just to let you know, but think about what there is. Number three, have you ever been blessed even though something wasn't going your way? Have you ever had joy even though something wasn't exactly the way you wanted, or something completely not the way you wanted? Not even just not exactly, but just completely on the other end of how you wanted it. Were you still ever able to have joy in that? I want you to think about those things. And here's the most important question. Are you pursuing happiness or anything else are you pursuing, or are you pursuing God? If you're pursuing him, these other things will get added. If you're not sure how to start pursuing God, here's the first step. Get off the beach and get in the water, right? Get in the water. Metaphors work together sometimes. Get in the water. Get baptized. Follow God. Get plunged in the water. That's a real baptism. Biblical baptism is actually going under the water and coming back out a newness of life. Stop being a fish on the beach. Come be baptized today. We can do it right now. Baptism announces to everyone around and to God saying, I want to pursue you. That's what that announces. For those of you who already have been baptized, think about how big the ocean is, and that's how much further up and further in you can go with pursuing God. And so think about other ways to go deeper after him. And then I'm going to quit staring at the beach because you're going to die there. Pursue God instead. Don't pursue the things that this world tells us are more important than others, or our integrity, or Jesus' sacrifice. Don't pursue those things. Pursue God instead. Let's pray.